Okay. Everybody say good morning. And before I begin, I want to take this opportunity to convey Hakaras HaToyv, a tremendous Hakaras HaToyv, which I feel that perhaps all the Teshavim of Golders Green owe to the Askanim HaChashuvim that established this Beis Medrash, which benefits not only the local residents, but the whole Golders Green. So Gevaldik Amar can say that, and this here is a wonderful thing. And the Rashba says that it's a mitzvah of Farsim Moisi Mitzvah, so I'll mention the names that I know. I don't know whoever else is involved, but Dudi Iskovit, the Buri Neufeld book that I missed, Shimon Rai, Johnny, Rapsin. I'll go upon him. I think whoever owns real estate on Leaside Crescent, their value went up thanks to this shul. And the Eidus should help, it should be a kvir, should become a kavua. And now, because I suspect that the shul was established to serve as a reminder, as something as similar as possible to the yeshiva experience that most of us have, I want to today maybe deviate from the regular routine of what happens here in this half an hour, and rather than give a shir in which you'll attain more knowledge on any given subject, have more ideas, more practical information, I want to spend this half an hour learning a piece of Gemara together. And I invite every one of you individually to go back to your days when you were in yeshiva, to the best kufa that you had, whether it was yeshiva Tana, yeshiva Gdoyla, or Chelo, when you were sitting across your chavruta on a little shishi at 1 o'clock in the morning, and there was a rizcha de raisa, and you were yageya to understand a piece of Gemara. And that's what we're going to do this morning. It's going to be the experience of learning one line of Gemara. You're not going to become more knowledgeable in any sugya of carrying on Shabbos or so on. We're going to learn a Gemara that pertains to carrying on Shabbos. In fact, when you hear the word carrying on Shabbos, often we think that it involves, you know, Golders Green Road or Spaniards Inn or this area or Edgeware or another area. What should come to mind when you're carrying a Shabbos should be a Perekitiyas HaShabbos Shnayim Shein Arba, the Sugiyas of Kuzak Mishahuncha, of Kaveres, of Shali Naitubota Ikres. This is what carrying a Shabbos is all about. The technicalities of whether this road or that road falls into this category, that's secondary. What matters is that this is part of the Sugiyas and Shabbos. And the reason I chose this is because it happens to be the Sugiyas that I'm learning now in Yeshiva. It's also Bahashkocha that this week is Parshat Yisroi, when we read about Zohar, it's Yom HaShabbos Lekatshoi. Which we know that the Aseret HaDibros wasn't so much about the information of these Aseret HaDibros, because Klal Yisrael knew the Aseret HaDibros beforehand. What happened by Matan Torah was that Shabbos received this Kedusha, where Yitzchak, instead of just being a regular act of morality, became an act of Kedusha. The Gemara that says that Yoshev Olavra Aveda Kilu Kiyim Mitzvah, that was Mitzchadish by Matan Torah. That mitzvahs are not just something that you do because they make sense, but it's something that has kedusha to it. The Medrash brings a mashal of two countries that was the Ogenim, the Tachonim, the Bnei Reinim, the Bnei Bavel, and these couldn't enter their territory, they couldn't enter their territory, and this is the way it was prior to Mount Torah. There was the Ogenim and there was the Tachonim, and that changed. Vayeirid Hashem al Har Sinai, Vomisha Omar Alei al Har. Prior to Matan Torah, when he wanted to attain kedusha, he wanted to attain a connection to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, he had to do spiritual things. He had to be nichnas lapardis. It was a sula mutav arsa. He had to climb and become a malach. Once Matan Torah was given, there are simple physical acts that attain kedusha. A cheft of tefillin becomes a cheft of kedusha. The others put on tefillin before Matan Torah, but didn't necessarily have that kedusha. Matan Torah gives it a kedusha. And Shabbos, the Kedusha of Shabbos came about in Parshat Yisroi. In fact, the Rabbeinu Bachaya brings from the Rambam that when we say Sheishis Yomim Tavid V'Sitza Kol Malach Techo, it's not just that the Torah is telling you in 6 days it's permissible to do Avodah and in Shabbos you shouldn't. The Torah is saying, the Bachaya brings this, Sheishis Yomim Tavid, that should be your Avodah for 6 days. A person whose call it is to go out and be from Bnei Zvulun, or his Avodah is to go out and do Sheishas Yomim Tavid, and that receives Kedusha. As a result of Matan Torah, a Yid does his day to day work with Shem Shemayim, and he does it in a way of Kedusha, he does it with all the halachas of Einah and all the halachas of Chayshim Mishpat, that becomes a holy act, which was a Chadish in Matan Torah. So, Kaponim, one of the things is Zachar Yom HaShabbos, and the very beginning of Masechta Shabbos deals with Eitzah. So we're going to talk about a piece of Gemara that pertains to Eitzah. And again, there's no practical application. We're just going to learn this Gemara together. So let's read the Gemara here. You have it on your copy. It's quote number one, where the Gemara brings the memre of Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan says three things. Rabbi Yochanan says, there are two things that are obvious to me, two things that are Dover of Poshet, and the Chita said, it's Hakeno Chayut. And the third thing, Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't know the Tere. And he remains with the table. And we're going to try to understand what was his suffix. What were the two tzadim of his suffix in this scenario? Maybe with using one Rishon or two Rishon, depending on how much time we have. So Gemara says over here like this. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Right from the top line that you have fully copied in. Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, we know that on Shabbos there's the Isur Hitzah. You're not allowed to take something from Rosh HaYachid to Rosh HaRabim. Equally forbidden is to take something from Rosh HaRabim to Rosh HaYachid. But there's another Isur on Shabbos, which is Havaras Dalet Amos Rosh HaRabim. Even if you're not going from one domain to another, you're doing the act entirely in Rosh HaRabim, but if you go from point A to point B, and between those two points is Dalet Amos, you're over on Hitzah on Havaras Rosh HaRabim. That's the Isur. Now you don't actually have to carry the object with you and go with it from the beginning of the Dalai Lama to the end of the Dalai Lama. If you throw the object and it goes to after the Dalai Lama, it's Yotze from your Dalai Lama, that is also an act of Havara. Because it's going Nachus your Koyach. Within that one act of throwing, there's an Akira and there's an Anacha, because your energy is following the object and making the Anacha wherever it takes it to. So that's the Isur. Now Rabbi Yochanan says like this, what happens if Reuven throws an object, but instead of landing on the ground, Dalet Amos further, there's Shimon standing there to catch it? Now here we have a problem. Because on the one hand, Reuven did an act of Avodah. But on the other hand, there's room to argue that maybe this was an act that was done b'shutvis amongst Reuven and Shimon together, combined. Because maybe the Hanacha is to the credit of Shimon. So Reuven picks up the ball, throws it, but to whose credit did it land? Who did the Hanacha? And if you don't do Akira and Hanacha, you're not over on Shabbos. You're not over. Unless you do an act of removing it from its original place and placing it down into its new Mokoim, you're not over. Not Nachnosa, not Haitzah, not Havaras Dalodam. It has to be Akira and it has to be Hanacha. So the Bichna says it depends. When you have a thrower and a catcher, there's a case in which the thrower is Chayiv, there's a case in which the thrower is Potter. The catcher is never Chayiv because he didn't make an Akira. What are the cases? So the Bichna like this. Rabbi Yochanan says, if Shimon, the one who's receiving, the one who's catching, is standing passively, he stands with his hand stretched out and he waits for the ball to arrive on his hand, and he doesn't move his hand. His hand just serves as a platform for the ball to land on his hand. So, Omad bin Koim v'kibel, chayiv. Then the thrower is chayiv. Because it's no different. The fact that there's a hand there is no different to it landing on a table or a chair or a floor. It makes no difference. This is just a technical thing. The hand doesn't do anything. The hand is just being passive. But what if Shimon, the one who's catching, he intercepts the ball in the process of flying? He doesn't wait for the ball to arrive at his hand, but he does an act of catching it. He moves his hand into the way of the ball and he stops it and he catches it like that. So the din is a potter. This is potter. Because the person who threw it didn't do the hanacha. In fact, his act of throwing, if it would have been allowed to complete its course, it would have landed somewhere else. So his hanacha never happened. The hanacha that did take place over here was the result of Shimon. So if a malacha is done through Reuven and Shimon, so you're positive. This is the Echna says this question. Amad im kaim v'kibel chayiv, akim im kaim v'kibel potter, there's no choylik, everybody's masking with this. Tanya nam yachid, the Gemara says, Tavraisim, Fereshis, Achedim, Oimrim, Amad im kaim v'kibel chayiv, akim im kaim v'kibel potter. Fine. But now comes the Bi'echlan's boy. Boyida Bi'echlan, the Bi'echlan says, there's a situation where there's a thrower and a catcher, and I'm in doubt as to whether or not the person will be chayv. It's a very strange scenario. Let's look at what happens here. Zorak Chepetz, Reuven throws the object from the beginning of the Dalet Amos. There's no Shimon here. He's the only one on the pitch. So he throws the object, and then he runs the Dalet Amos to where the ball is meant to arrive, and he's oike the ball. So we're only talking about Reuven himself. There's no Reuven and Shimon. But when Reuven runs to the end of the Dalet Amos, he doesn't wait passively for the ball to land on his hand, but he's oike the ball from him claiming, he's oike him claiming to catch the ball, which means he intercepts the ball in midair. So this is the question that Bi'echanan has. And he, the same Zoyrek,
was nekamim koymi v'chazar v'kibloi, and then he does an act of being mekabelit at the end of the dalad ames, but it doesn't land naturally. So the din is mahu. If Yerichan has a kasha mahu, what would be the din in this case? Then Rabbi Yechon himself doesn't explain what his kasha is. Rabbi Yechon says, I have a question. I know that if Reuben throws it to Shimon and it arrives on Shimon's hand without Shimon stopping it, Reuben's chayav. I know that if Shimon intercepts it, Reuben is potter. What happens if Reuben himself intercepts it? He himself runs ahead of himself, catches the ball, but he doesn't allow it to fall naturally onto his hand. He stops the ball mid-air and he makes a hanachah with it. Should he be chayav or should he be potter? And he doesn't explain his kasha. So the Gemara says, "My kami boyle." What's his kasha? My kami boyle. Now, the next quote you have over here too is Rashi, but unfortunately, the Rashi on this my kami boyle is not copied here. I'll read you Rashi's pirush on my kami boyle. Rashi says, "My sveika iko." The Gemara doesn't always ask my kami boyle because if it's an obvious question, we know what the question is. But the Gemara is saying, "What's the topic? What should be done? Should it be chayv or should it be potter?" Should be chayv. Anybody think he should be potter? Why should he be potter? He did both things. What? Very good point. That's a very good point. He says b'shas the throwing. The initial machshevet b'shas the throwing was that it should land naturally. It shouldn't be intercepted. But who cares? We don't know that. First of all, correct. He may have intended to fetch it. Correct. Not necessarily. If you throw it, if you throw an object without a makabel, you're chayv. With your timing would be correct if it would be done by someone else. But so what? Mishas the Akira, it wasn't intended for this hanacha to take place. So now he didn't know hanacha, but he's the same person doing it. Okay, the Vietnam is not machalik. It seems that the tzad to be praised would be even if he had bound to do this. And Rashi says so as well, we'll see in a minute. The Gemara says so. But let me finish this Rashi. Rashi says, "Me'ez the time Yifter, why should he be potter? Ha'over Akira be'anocha. He did side Akira, side anocha. So what's the tzad to be praised? The reason why you patted it in the first case when Shimon was catching it was because Reuben never did it on other. But the year Reuben himself did it on other as well. So the Gemara says, Maikom Eboyele, Oman of Adar Barava, Rav Adar Barava says like this, Shnei Koichos Ba'odom Echot Kom Eboyele. We have a situation that's a strange scenario. We have a person here who throws a ball. Now usually when you throw a ball, it's one koyach that starts with an Akira and concludes with a Hanukkah. And that koyach follows the ball until it's minyan, until it's noach. Over here, we have two koyaches. If we look at the act, we have two acts. We have one act of akira, and then another act of intercepting the ball and putting it down, which is the hanach. So it's shnei koyaches. But on the other hand, it's ba'odam echot. These two koyaches involve one person only, not two people. So shnei koyaches ba'odam echot kame bayale. And he tightens up, what's the kash? Shnei koyaches ba'odam echot ki odam echot domi v'chayiv. When you have two koiches in one person, is that not a problem at all? Because at the end of the day, it's one person. Or idilma, maybe not. Ki shnei bnei adam dami, maybe being that it's done in two separate acts, that should make it for some reason ki shnei bnei adam upotur and ubi potur. So this was Rabbi Yechon's question, and the Amiroyim concludes teku. Now I want to push it this kasha Rabbi Yechon. So it remains with a teku. But we really have to understand what are the two tzadim over here. And I think everybody agrees that it's much more in svara, it's much more noiter to the tzad that you should be chayiv. Person doesn't akira, person doesn't anachas. Why should this be comparable to shnei bnei adam? By shnei bnei adam, each person, each individual didn't do the whole thing, but they did the whole thing. On what basis are you comparing it to two people? That's number one. But number two, there's another kashi here. Because really, if you think about it logically, every person that does Havarah Dalad Ames, or Hetzorah as well, but we're talking about Havarah here, and makes an Akira at the beginning of the Dalad Ames, walks with the object to the end of the Dalad Ames, and then puts it down. Is that one Koyach or Shnei Koyaches? Very correct. It would seem that it's two, because it's an act of Akira, and then there's this just act of walking with it, and then there's a separate act of Anachah. So you also have two Koyaches. And over there, that's good for the Yisra of Havarah. Nobody challenges that. Nobody says there's a time that you should be positive because of Shnei Koyaches. Who cares? That's the Iker type of Yisra. We learn Zvika from that. So why suddenly here do we need it to be one Koyach? So we have two Kashas. First of all, just because it's two Koyaches, how does that make it to Shnei Bnei Adam? Shnei Koyaches Ba'adam Echad Kishnei Bnei Adam Domi. What's the time that it should be Kishnei Bnei Adam? And
Secondly, if there is a tzad that should be k'nei bnei adam, then argue that by every time a person makes tzavor. He makes tzavor, he takes the tzavor, he makes an akiva. Then he walks into a separate act of anachim. So you can argue that that's two separate things. Two koiches. Maybe we should also have the boy of Rabbi Yochanan, which we obviously don't. So this is what we're trying to understand today. What was the Bi'echan and the boy over here? Now we want to understand this from Rashi. This is the next quote in Rashi. But before we go to Rashi, I want to share with you what some other Rishonim say here, which L'chayda Derma Halach is much more glatt. And we'll have to understand where Rashi is coming from when we contrast Rashi with what they say. So it's not on this copy, but I'll tell you briefly what the Tosfos HaRosh says. And perhaps it's much more like that in other Rishonim as well. But Tosfos HaRosh is the most elaborate in explaining the Gemara in this way. And I'm going to add my understanding of Tosfos HaRosh. It's more the kitchen Tosfos HaRosh, but this is what I answer. He says like this. He says, this topic of Rabbi Yochanan is only by Tzadika. Havara, you don't have this topic. Because Hitzah to Rabbi Yochanan means, with the tzad that it means, one act. Taking an object from one domain to another domain, or Havara Zalad Amr for the beginning of the Zalad to the end of the Zalad, is only an Isser if it's one act. One act that starts here and continues till there. But when you take two acts, one with an akid and the second with a hanocha, it doesn't add up. It doesn't add up to an act of haitzah. Haitzah is not just a combination of akid and hanocha. Haitzah is one act of taking an object and removing it and putting it in a new place. But making an akid and then stopping it in the middle and then doing a separate act of hanocha, that doesn't constitute haitzah. So therefore, when a person takes the chafetz and walks with the chafetz from point A to point B, it's obviously one act. It's in his hand. That's the mitzvah of this thing. It's one big thing. I'm taking it from here and I'm walking with it till here. It's a continuum. There's no hapsik. It's mitzvah of these two things. But when I'm throwing the object, so the object is not in my hand. The object is in the air. So bishlam, if the object flowed naturally as a result of my act, is one mitzvah zirika. I took it and I threw it. And that continued naturally until its final destination. So it's obviously one act. It's one mitzvah zirika. But if I intercept that first act, so that Maisa Zika stops. Now I'm doing a second Maisa of Hanocha. That doesn't make it so. The Yechon has a suffix. Maybe that doesn't add up as a so. So why does the Yechon say that this is Kishnei Bnei Yodam? Because the Yechon is arguing, what's the logic? The Yechon is pondering, what's the Tvara by Shnei Bnei Yodam that you're posting? When Reuben throws an object and Shimon intercepts it and makes the Hanocha, why is Reuven Potter? So there's two ways of understanding why Reuven would be Potter. Right, let's take this slowly. Reuven throws the object, Shimon catches it, and puts it down. Or Shimon allows it to fall into his hand prior to it, before it reached where it's meant to reach. So Rabbi Yochanan was mistopic. What is the Sibah Saptur? Why is Reuven Potter over here? Is Reuven Potter because he didn't make the Hanocha altogether? Obviously, if you make an akira without a hanocha, you're potter. Or no. The reason why Reuven is potter is because his akira stopped and there was a hefsik between the akira and the hanocha. The hefsik between the akira and the hanocha, that's the tzibas apsur. So Rabbi Yechon says like this. If the tzibas apsur is because he didn't do the hanocha as well, so in our case, when it's one person that's intercepting his own ball, he did both the akira and the hanocha, there's no tzibas to be placed in him and he's high. But if the tzibas apsur by Shnei Adam, which Shimon is because of the hefsik, so he used to have that hefsik. And if so the same logic of Shnei Koichai, of Shnei Bnei Adam, applies to Shnei Koichai B'Adam Echad. You don't need Shnei Bnei Adam per se, you need the fact that it's not one act. And over here as well, it's not one act. This is what the Tosfos HaRosh. The problem is, so that's fine. We can understand that, we can accept that. For sure, there's a lot to talk about on that, but we can understand that. Let's take a look what Rashi says though. Rashi says something different. Remember, according to the Tosfos HaRosh, when we say Kishnei Bnei Adam Dami, we don't mean to say that it's like two people. We mean to say that it has the same chisarin that we find by two people, which is that there's a hefsik. So over here as well there's a hefsik. But let's take a look at what Rashi says. And it's really these three words, or two words in Rashi, that we're going to try to understand now throughout the whole Shiur. So Rashi says Kishnei Bnei Adam Dami. Well, I'm going to read the first line, we don't have to go further. Rashi says Kishnei Bnei Adam Dami Yupatur. Says Rashi, what is the svara that this should be compared to Shnei Bnei Adam? The Haver Luhu Shnayim She'asa Uho. Rashi says that the Ptur over here would be because Shnayim She'asa Uho. Because two people did the act.
Now this is very difficult. Because it's one person that could be asked. If we say, like the other Rishonim say, that Kishnei Bnei Adam Domi Mitzad Bichitor Not Hefzik, I can understand. But to say that the Ptur over here is because of Shnai Shnai Shnai, but it's one Reuven, the same Reuven went with the Akira, and then he caught it in the Hanazah. How does this add up to Shnai Shnai Shnai? And I don't mean to say have a kid Shnai Shnai Shnai. It's like, it's Shnai Shnai Shnai. So this is what we have to understand today. What does Rashi mean over here with Shnai Shnai Shnai? And to understand this, we go to a Gemara that appears in the Gimel Amud Aleph, which is the next quote, quote number 3. And the Gemara over here is telling Zechan the Mishnah, where the Mishnah brings, this is the Gemara of Shnai Shnai Shnai. The Mishnah brings a case where a classical, typical case where one person does an Akira and another person does a Hanocha, not by Dalad Amos, but by Hitzo. So we have Reuben and Shusha Yochid, he's the Balabais. Someone comes to his house, knocks on the door, he wants a donation. This guy is a non-Frum Jew, he doesn't know that he's not allowed to carry on Shabbos. And Reuven might be Frum, but he forgot that it's Shabbos morning, somebody's coming for a donation, he takes a piece of bread and he gives it to him. So both of them are Shogigin, and if they do the Malacha, they will chayiv a Chatos. The problem is that the way the Malacha took place was that Reuven did the Akira without doing the Hanocha. Why? Because he was Oike the Chayiv from the Shusha Yochid, but he didn't stretch it out into the Shusha and place it on the hands of the Oni, which would constitute a complete Malacha of it. So he puts it into the hand of the Oni, which is stretched into the Shusha Yochid. So he did an Akira, but not a Hanocha. The Oni then takes the object out into the Shusha and puts it into his basket or into his wagon, and he does an act of Hanocha. So Reuven did an Akira, and Shimon did a Hanocha. The Balabai did an Akira, and the Oni did a Hanocha. So the Mishnah says, Shnei Amturin. Shnei Amturin. Because a Malacha Shabbos means Akira with Hanocha. And in this case, each one only did half the Malacha. Shnei Amturin. Now, we wouldn't have any qualms with that. There's no reason for them to be Chayim. But the Gemara asks a Kasha. The Gemara asks, it's on the last two words on the top line here. It's a Bishmir. Shnei Amturin. They're both Pasur, says the Gemara. Why? Why are they both Pasur? The Gemara says at the end of the day, their combined acts, these two acts together, constitute the Malacha of Yisrael. So fine, Reuven only did Akira, fine, Shimon only did a Hanacha. But Bitsirof, Mi Beinayu, if you take these two acts together, you do have an act of Yisrael. So why are they potter? This is the Gemara's question. And the Gemara gives an answer. Now the problem is, what kind of question is that? What kind of question is that? Thank you very much. Mi beinayu. But if you're talking to me and I'm Reuven, you're telling me go bring a chatos, I'll say, what did I do? I did only an Akira. Or if you're talking to Shimon, and you're telling Shimon to bring a chatos, the Oni that took the bread out and put it in his wagon, so you also argue, I only did a hanoko. What do I can mi beinayu? Since when am I responsible for an act that someone else did? Then I'm arrogant, but not that I should have to bring a chatos to someone else. But the Gemara does have a kasha. The Gemara asks, there was a malacha that took place over here, and therefore there should be a chiyuv chatos. Not like you're showing him whether both should be in chatos, whether one chatos for both, or whether one chatos only for the second one, the miniach. But without getting involved in that, any way you look at it, you bring the chayav chatos for people that did not do a complete malacha. So the Gemara answers the question. But the Gemara does not rule the question outright. The Gemara says, there's a limud, there's a drasha. Tanya Rabbi Yoimer, the Gemara says, me amarit ba'asoyso. We learn from a pasuk. It says, "Ba'as soyso on the pasuk." Oisas kula v'le oisas miktoso. Yochid v'as oisas chayis. Shnayim v'as oisas pturin. It's when I'm yochid. Gemara repeats it. Yochid v'as oisas chayim. Shnayim v'as oisas pturin. So, upon the Gemara says like this, you're right. There would have been a mokum to be mechayim chatos over here, but we have a drasha that says that not. We have a drasha that says that ba'as soyso you have to do an entire malach. You have to do it to one person in order to be chayim chatos. That's what the Gemara says. So the Achreinim, and I'm quoting here the Pnei Yeshua, they have a problem with the whole Kesal Kedaitoch. What's the Shakla Metaya? What's the give and take? What was the Gemara's initial thought process by arguing you should have a Chayv Chatos for a person that didn't do a complete Malacha? What's the Tzad? And remember, and that's why it's relevant to us, that this is the Gemara that Rashi quotes. Rashi says that the reason why this is Reuven, in quote number 2, the reason why this is Reuven that runs and intercepts his own bow with deep water is because of Shnayim Shasur. So we're going back to this Gemara and trying to understand what is the Yisoyed HaPtur of Shnayim Shasurua, and maybe if we can have a deeper appreciation of that, we can see where Rashi is coming from by us in our sugya. So let's take a look at the Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua says it's B'toich Varim and Tzariches, he brings it twice, but we only want to take out the point. It's on the second line over here. Avo Meikara HaBasavar, the Achas Meachas Mashma dafilu b'miktsasa mechayev ha'achrim. There was a ksal kedaitoch. The Gemara had a ksal kedaitoch that Shabbos is an exception to kol ha'toyro kulo. Quite obvious that if I eat a chati zayit chayul and you eat another chati zayit, even though the tirup, okay, over there there's no tirup because it's too goofy, but if I steal a chati shir, a chati fruta, and you steal a chati fruta, even though the nizal also fruta, it's obvious that I'm not chayev for what you did. Or if I'm, or in any other isur, if you don't do the shir and isur, there's no chiyuv. Shabbos, there's a kasal kedaitoch. The Gemara felt that based on a drasha of achas me'achas, which we're not going to get into, there is a makim loyma that Shabbos, if a complete malacha took place, if in the end there was a complete act of isur here, if you have you were mishtatef in that act of isur, if you did a mixtas of that act of isur, you should be chayiv. Because malacha Shabbos doesn't require that you do a complete malacha. There has to be a complete malacha because otherwise you don't have a violation of Shabbos. But if in fact there was a violation of Shabbos and you contributed to that, you did a part of that isur, there was a kesak adayter and the Gemara Shabbos of gimel that you should be chayiv. And this thing was telling me about soita yochid vasa and that shows. But it was a mocking way, man, that Shabbos should be an exception to kol ha'toyro, and that if you did a malacha combined together with someone else, you're still chayim, because at the end of the day, a malacha took place, and you were mishtatef in that malacha. This is the kesaparai kol gemara. Now, very briefly, because I'm running out of time, just want to get back and wrap up this rashi over here. What was the gemara's drasha when the gemara said basleisa? When the gemara was mechadish, said that's not the case. The gemara said no. What had a tiny Sabina Malacha mi beinayu? A malacha took place over here. If a malacha took place, then Shabbos we have a drasha of achas me'achas, and you took part in that malacha, you should be chayav achatos. The Gemara says no, we have basleisa. What was the Gemara saying with that basleisa? So you could explain this in one of shnei ponim. You can explain this in two ways. The basleisa can be doing one of two things. The basleisa could be rejecting the whole premise of the mashin and saying no, Shabbos is not an exception to tayag mitzvah. Shabbos you also have to do an entire act in order to be chayav, and therefore since each person here does only a half act, they're both chatos. Or the Gemara could have been saying something else from this basleisa. And I beg that pay attention, right? Because this is fine tuning. The Gemara could have said something else. The Gemara could have been saying your hanacha was correct. In Shabbos, we maintain that premise that a chati malacha is enough to be mechayev you if a complete malacha took place. But there's another problem over here in this Gemara, in this case, that no malacha took place, because the malacha of Shabbos that is comprised of two halves is not a malacha of Shabbos. So the Gemara is rejecting the machshis svara that he should be mechayev the person achatas, not because he only did half the act. Doing half the act would be enough to be mechayev you. The only problem is that whenever you do only half an act and someone else does the other half, you don't have an Isser Shabbos here. Shabbos is an Isser that is one act, not compositions of two halves. Any malacha of Shabbos. So when the Gemara is answering Ba'asoyso, the Gemara is not saying you did half an act. The Gemara is saying Lo yisavida malacha mibeinayu. You don't even have a half an act because there was no malacha Isser here before. You never took part in the malachas Isser, because the malachas Isser means one act of Isser. One act of writing to Oisis, one act of being Mavashal Kishir, one act of being Oifer Zedeh, whatever. Two halves don't make up an Isser. That's the drasha of Yachid Ba'asay Tevroi Shnaim Shasu. Not that the reason why each one is part is because they only did half the act, but because when two halves come together, they don't make the malachas Shabbos before. So we're not saying, Ruben, you talk you did a half of malacha, but it's not enough to be Mechayiv you a half of. We're saying, Ruben, you never did a part of a malacha before. There was no Isavid the Malacha Mibinai. Because the Malacha of Shabbos has to be one act. If I write one Ois and you write a second Ois, there was no Maisek Siva that took place over here from a Shabbos perspective. That's not called writing. Writing means writing two Oisis. Zriya doesn't mean that I put it in halfway and you put it in the other half. Zriya means one act of being Zedeya. Haitzah means one act of Haitzah. So Rashi says this was the Yechonon Sofik. I was stopping right here because I promised not to go over time. This was the Yechonon Sofik. Reuven himself threw it, and he himself intercepted it and caught it. So Taki, he did side that here and side the halacha. But Yachid, but Ba'asaisa teaches me, Yachid Shasov, like Shnaim Shasu, that has to be one act. So here we have a strange composition. We have one person doing it in two halves. So the Mela, as a result, we tackle one person, but a Shnei Koichis. Maybe that's also a Chisor in Yachid Ba'asaisa. It's not a Malacha of Shabbos. Shabbos means one act. This is the Vechon and Sofik. So Taka Rashi correctly says that the Ptur, the Tzad Lipto in Nevi Yechlon, would be like Rashi says, the Havalu Shnaim Sha'ata'ur. It's the equivalent of Shnaim Sha'ata'ur. It's exactly like Shnaim Sha'ata'ur, because although it's being done by one person, but each one of these two halves is not part of the Melech HaShabbos, because no Melech HaShabbos took place in the total analysis. The final result of these two acts together doesn't make up a Melech HaShabbos. So each one of these halves is not part of the Melech HaShabbos. The Avalu Shnayim Shasua.